I am not a problem drinker. It's a drinker. Okay. Life was a problem. Alcohol was the answer. That's the reason I drank. Why would you want to drink to buy a problem? I can understand drinking to buy an answer. Makes sense to me, because I'm an alcoholic, you know. That's important for me to remember that. Alcohol did the job for me. I'm here to tell you that alcohol has taken me to places the National Geographic's never seen. It did the job. Did a wonderful job for me. A wonderful job. I was a bar room drunk. Here people say, oh, I just drank in bars. I drank there. Then we have people say, oh, I was a kitchen drunk. I drank in kitchens too. I was a convention. I drank in conventions. Oh, I drank hard stuff. I drank that, soft stuff. I drank everything one, two, stiff to two. That's what I drank. Right? Loved it. Didn't like it. You hear people say, oh, I drank for effect. Yeah, I drank for effect. Yep, sure did. I like the smell of it, the taste of it, the effect of it. I even like the trucks that deliver the stuff, because that meant he wasn't going to run out while he was there. I like that. He ain't going to run out. Going to be some stuff there, right? Love bars. I love the kind of music that people in bars play. I like the other games that they played too. And I went back later to make sure I didn't miss none. And the big game just left. Just missed it. Just missed it. Walk into a bar. Sit down next to a guy. I'm shy. Now, I drank in blue-collar bars. Guy next to me, probably a longshoreman, welder, something like that. You don't sit next to the guy there if you're a little bit shy. I'm experiencing fear this evening. That don't work, right? Right? One time, my ex-wife told me, Tom, you associate with them roughnecks you grew up with. And she just figured out that was part of my problem. So she told me I should drink in higher class bars. So I thought, well, she might be right, because she's a pretty smart girl. So I started drinking in these bars that had these engineers in there. You know, and this guy's talking to me for 20 minutes about something big that he designed that makes a tank go a half a mile faster. Half an hour about this crap. Boring crap. I mean, really boring. I'm in a bar. It's boring. High class. As far as I drank, the other guy was sitting next to you and tell you, man, we dropped a 3.5-ton tractor overboard this afternoon. He told that to you in like 10 seconds. Interesting stuff. Enough. I don't hear that little plastic, you know, eating stuff. Big tractors, yeah, boom! Man, I can feel the splash, you know? Yeah. I love those kind of guys. That's how I drink, you know. That's how I do everything. Us alcoholics do things. We just like the action, you know? We like the action. You don't even mind me going to a funeral and it's fast. You know? Sure. That's how alcoholics like me, huh? Sit next to the guy at the bar. Talk to him, right? Tell him a lie. He didn't know him. Automatically lie. Just practicing, you know. When I did my inventory, I found out I automatically exaggerated or lied by 300%. I was consistent. I found that out. I didn't know that, how consistent we really are in our lives. You know, we have a pattern. We just don't know it until we take it in. Mine was 300%. I tell this guy, yeah, well, I'm the vice president of my company. Like, he gave a crap. Like, he's met him, right? He didn't give a damn darn if I was just Jonathan. I wasn't. I was three ranks down. I was the office manager. You know. Now, 5 years later, I was to become the vice president. So I was a prophetic liar. We're not totally devoid of talent. Couldn't be, I'll make $100,000 a year, like I was going to give you something. I was making about $33,000. Just about my three. I got nine girlfriends. Great love. What? Nine. Count them. Nine. You're alive. Only had three. Two didn't know it. One that knew it was trying to escape. Tell the lover. Yeah. Had about six drinks, I was a singer. Wasn't melodious, but I was loud. 8-10 drinks, I was a dancer. You know? I wasn't smooth, but I was fast. You ever get your favorite bar and the music is just right, like you hear the beat, and you don't have to holler in the girl's ear next to you, she can still hear you if you want to. And the lighting is just right, no wrinkles show, perfect lighting. Oh, 10 drinks, I still get goosebumps. Thank you. I got it right now. Oh, it's been over 20 years. Man, I got goosebumps with a memory. They still pop up. Can you imagine that? I'm sitting in there, I can still see the music. You talk to the heavens. The lighting is just good. Thank you. Nice seeing you. And I had my first out-of-body experience. I got like brilliant when I drank. I was sort of average when I didn't drink. Well, when I drank, I was brilliant. And us alcoholics are a compassionate lot. In my brilliant state, I would solve world problems. No local stuff, please. It took me all night to get this condition. You know how that is. You work on it and you don't want to go, you know. And you know you're there. You know that. And you're, you know. It's what I call my semi-celestial state. I'm floating above the crowd, not quite to the ceiling, but definitely above the crowd, and definitely out of body. And in that state, I would solve, like, world hunger. See, that's compassion. No, I would solve world hunger in about 15 or 20 minutes, depending on what time the joint closed. You know, that was a big factor. I wonder why the UN took so long, you know. These are strenuous things to do. On certain nights, talent night, I would do some things like redistribution of energy sources. Gee, that's going to take some calculating. Yeah, I would always consult guys like Cliff for that kind of stuff. Yeah. Now Cliff knows I'm right when I say, and as long as I was buying Cliff drinks, he's there. Or vice versa, and I'm like, I'm different one way or the other. You know what I mean? The action occurs. I did, you know, redistribution of energy sources, you know. We're compassionate people. I'd be in a blue-collar neighborhood bar, and fate would have it. A fella would come in, and he was going to court next day. And he announced it at 1:30 in the morning. The joint closed at 2, and he didn't have a lawyer. I'm not an attorney, but what's a compassionate friend going to do? I mean, we're required to practice law without a license. You know, you can't be indifferent. Practice law. You wonder why you wake up tired. You work hard at night. It's tough to practice law when you don't know anything about it. If that was just here, it'd be okay. You could rest up. you know. The next night, in come a guy. He has an illness. He's sick. He doesn't have medical insurance. 12:30, you know. No doctors are open. Hey, what's the fellow to do? There I am, next night, practicing medicine. Man sick. What do you think? That's how it works. We get very tired. Well, I had a good time drinking that, you could say. I had a wonderful, that's the reason I drank. It did the job. And people said, oh, please don't drink all this instant. I feel sorry for you, you know. I could cry. What a waste of good food. People are ingrate. I just had a wonderful time drinking. I got the Alcoholics Anonymous when drinking this, it was still doing what alcohol was supposed to do, but the result had changed in my life. Now, I like to call those results that got my attention. I need attention getting results. I don't do nudging well. I don't do suggestions well. So the events in my life that changed me, I call direct hits. Now, that changed. A bullet could go past my ear a half an inch away, and I would stand there and admire the hum. But the one that hits me between the eyes and knocks me on my butt, boom, what was that? That was a bullet. You've been hit. Oh, that got my attention. That's how I am. I know none of you are that hard-headed, of course. You know, only me, I'm an extreme case. You know how different I am. I was married for 25 years to a compassionate, bright, caring woman. 25 years. Some people with diplomas on the wall will tell you, you don't finish nothing. But that's okay. I mean, they're probably keeping out of other mischief. I have no qualm with that. And that'll take 25 years of finishing a marriage. But it's a good down payment. And I come from an Irish Catholic background. You could have guessed that. And I got divorced. Now, I had a lot of guilt and shame about a divorce. You know, there's 9 kids in my family. Until I gave them the air before television. And and I'm the only one ever got divorced, you know. I got a younger sister, was in Baltimore last night, she's a nun. You know, I got a sister, say it like that. Before they had a program. I mean, I had a sister before it was fashionable. Yeah, she was there. Man, she is something else. She's been all over the world. She's the world's leading expert on the Montessori system of education. She is the grand pupil of Dr. Montessori. She studied 10 years in Brussels. And boy, she is a spiritually attuned. She was 12 years with that dentist, Costamello, in India. And she works on the street with drunks in Philadelphia. She's not a convent sister. She's a street sister. So that really makes her my sister. Sister, really a sister. Anyway, she is a delight. She is a delight. Save me. Well, anyway, I get divorced. Okay? A lot of guilt and shame about that. A lot of guilt. The ninth step, under the direction of good sponsorship, relieved 98% of the guilt. I don't know where that 98% went. And I am not in pursuit of lost guilt. If you find it, keep it. I'm finished with it. That simple. My sponsor told me how to do it. And I followed his directions. I didn't want to follow his directions, but I did. Because I wasn't interested in finding a new sponsor at that time. And that was the alternative. He presented to me. which gives me the right to present that alternative to others that I have to sponsor, because I inherit it directly from my sponsor. So I can say to these new fellows, well, my experience is, are you looking for a new sponsor? And I can always blame an old Wally, my sponsor. And I look good, and Wally looks tough. Whereas the reverse is really the truth. It's true, sir. Wally needs a sponsor. Oh, after the divorce, though, we became pen pals, you know. He sent me a bill, I send her a check. But it's been like that since Eve, and it ain't going to change by Tuesday, so don't get nobody excited. That's just the way it is. I have no objection to that stuff. So. I remember when I was 8 years old, you're supposed to go to communion with your class on Sunday morning. And I used to have holes in my shoes. I used to embarrass me. I had a lot of pride. I didn't want to kneel down in front of my classmates and have them see this snot-nosed kid with holes in his shoes. I'd rather you think I was some kind of a sinner, and that's the reason I couldn't go to community college. Much more glamorous to be a 9-year-old sinner than a snot-nosed kid with holes in his shoes. So I made my mind up. When I got in charge of shoes and sweaters, you know, the sweaters with the elbows out, you know, missed a lot. Anyway, I was there. I made my mind up, and I got in charge of that kind of crap. I wouldn't put up with it anymore, and I didn't. Bless you alcoholics, too. We all know how to make a living. I never met an alcoholic who was sober who did not know how to make a living. Now, I didn't know how to live. I didn't know how to live. I knew how to make a living. Those two situations are not even close. They're not even kissing cousins. The ability to make a living and the ability to know how to live are not even close. The ability to make a living is the ability to trade what you know for money. The ability to know how to live is to put some principles in one's life that are realistic, attainable, and acceptable without perfection. Progress, how to do. That's the difference. I learned that in Alcoholics Anonymous, not in, you know, Philosophy 306. I had all that crap. A lot of people did, too. It's interesting stuff. It's good. You know. Anyway. I ain't so sure it's real good either. No, I'm not really sure. But made my mind up. When I was about 22, I bought a brand new Cadillac, paid cash for it. When I was 34, I made $1 million. Most of it legit. Not all, but most. This is an honest service. I mean, like, a little over 90% was legit. Well, I ain't paying for a drunk. No, I'm still drinking. I pay for that thing. When you say, 90%, I'm drinking, you know. Right. Well, 48, I'm sleeping under the railroad bridge that goes into Fort McHenry in Baltimore. The old B&O railroad bridge down by the Montgomery Ward warehouse on the left-hand side there. There's two layers, two embankments. I was a high-class drunk. I slept on the upper embankment. It was drier. The lower one got wetter. Right. High class. I guess that's what they mean by top shelf. That's where I slept. Broke. That company, I became vice president. I owned 18% of the stock of that company. I got fired from that company in the 29th year then. Now, I know we don't finish nothing, but I was the plumber will tell you about it. This is the 29th year in this company. I didn't get a letter of reprimand in my personnel file. That's a near miss. It's not a direct hit. It's not to be confused with direct hit. But I didn't get time off without pay. You know, that's a fishing expedition. Tom, you're a talented fellow. Many companies can use men of your talent. We are no longer one of those companies. That's the most polite firing I ever got. And we'd like to have your keys at 2 o'clock this afternoon. And they were prompt about it. So there I was fired. I thought I was smart. You know, a lot of people told me how smart. I won an academic scholarship at Johns Hopkins University before I was 17. I could take the test. Yeah. That was no problem. So I used to be able to look at a page and memorize half of it by picture. That was no problem. I didn't mean I knew anything. It meant I knew how to take the test. That's all I meant. I proved that later. I didn't really know anything of value. Thank God I didn't know anything of value. The reason I told you that, when I came to, and a room was almost as big as this, and I'm fogged, and I'm looking over, like almost to the back wall is a big window, and there's a person standing there, and I'm squinting. I said, that is a big person. That looks like it's a female big person. I'm looking over the big window there, and this female big person blocked out half that window. What you would call a half a window woman. But it wasn't. And I knew this half a window woman was the woman in charge, because her eyes were darting around this big room looking for somebody to be in charge of, and the only person in the room was me. I said, oh boy, this is... I know she's the woman in charge, and she's in charge of me. And she made a beeline for me with them eyes, and that size, I flew. She came in, and I called her Mr. Nurse. She says, what's your problem, Buster? Buster? Does she know who she's talking to? I told her, you know who you're talking to. She says, I have a general idea of who I'm talking to. Do you know who's listening? That was a trick question. He asked a trick question, you know. It turned out that her compassion for the alcoholic and her knowledge of recovery exceeded by 2 to 1 her size. This jerk just made a rash such decisions, like I usually did. She knew her business, and I'm grateful to her. Well, it's still a funny story. It happened. Those are outside things, aren't they? Most alcoholics will tell us it's the inside stuff that really tore us up in this stuff. Do you ever wonder, as I did, I often wonder, why it's people who continued to love me, and they knew of my terrible track record, and they forgave me again, and again. And I wondered why. Was I worth forgiving that many times? I didn't even think so. And did you ever try to convince the person who wanted to believe it would be different just one more time? They wanted to believe that you stop it, like I did. And you wanted them to believe, and you wanted to believe yourself, and you couldn't pull it off. We are powerless before we get here. That's powerless. Using all the powers of the swing and pleading and family ties and everything. Couldn't pull it off. Terrible. And every time you break the promise, did you feel the dagger that was plunged in your heart twist? Didn't that hurt, did it? Twist again. Did you stop promising you couldn't take the pain? I did. Did you stay stopped for about a month and you had to do something and you didn't know what? You gonna explode? Did you try to promise a God you didn't trust? And yourself said you broke a promise just one more time, only you would know and you would not be hurting others. Oh, I did that too. And truly I broke the promise to the God I didn't trust and to myself one more time. And that was the measure of my shame. The promise I broke to those who loved me. And they did me no harm, and I could do them no good. It's the measure of my guilt on the outside between me and my life. And the inside measure is the same. So we're tore up inside and outside. Well, I got to you August 14th, 1980. Direct hit. I'm divorced. Fired. Broke. Nuts. Crushed by guilt, shredded by shame, laying in the alley of life. I can't fall off this alley in a bed. That's the kind of shape I was in when I got to Alcoholics Anonymous. And by God, it was the greatest gift a human being can get, because when I got here, I was totally desperate. I didn't come here to argue with you, is there ain't a God, or is there alcoholic or ain't an alcoholic. You know. I didn't even know what continent I was on. And it didn't seem to make any difference. I didn't know anything. I didn't have to know anything. I was a half a cup of coffee man. That's what it was. My greatest accomplishment, my first 30 days with you people, I was able to eat peas with a spoon. 30 days. No sharp instruments yet. Don't rush this thing. In that condition, I got here. And as our good friend Chuck C. says, it's easy to surrender when there's nothing left to defend. What are you surrendering? Hole in the donut? Nothing. Came in AA. Stayed. I didn't stay because I thought it was a good idea. You know? It was the only idea I had. My ideas were come to AA or come to AA. What do you want? Column one or column two? That was it. So I took column two, come to AA. I saw guys running around in here. I didn't know. Didn't have a sponsor. I never knew anybody who had been in AA. I came here. Guys running around. I'm sober 5 years. Life sucks. I'm hanging in there. My wife is a bitch. My boss is a jerk. I'm the only good driver in what state are we in? Pennsylvania. If you want what I have, I just got there out of the nut house. So I don't know what that bum's got. I can't come here 5 years to learn how to bitch professionally. Hell, man, I drive past the cemetery and feel like a no-show. I know where I belong. I'm here by the grace of God. Nothing I got to do with it. That's me, no-show Flynn. I know the Undertaker in my neighborhood. I was with some guys the other night. I wait till he's not yet, Tim. That's our story. That's what happened. We love telling stories here, and he's got to tell you. That's all you do is tell the truth. Don't color it up or down. Let it go the way it came, and that's how it came. You know, we're just funny people. We don't set out to be funny. We're just funny. We see things differently than other people. That's what makes us so interesting. Have you ever met an alcoholic that was recovered who was boring? I ain't. Now, I met a lot of alcoholics who were working on things who were both sweaty and boring. that I saw you, and you see you at these conferences. You see them at retreats, spiritual retreats. You see them in group AA functions. You see them in jails and hospitals. I call you the people with the shiny eyes. You look at you, the lights are on, somebody's home. Scared me. I was used to people looking over my shoulder when they were talking to me. See who came in? These people looking right at you. And you felt them look right through me. Can they see all that? You know that feeling? Me too. Yeah, he can. Can you see it in me? No. Well, how do they know? They're looking inside themselves. They can't help suffering if they're like you. They're not telling your story. They're telling their own out loud. It's just similar to yours. That's all it is. That's the reason we share. That's all. Cut down sense of difference. At least enough to take some action. You do not yet believe in. Got me a sponge. Looked around for a sponge. Stalked the guy. There was a guy there that had 16 years, happy sobriety. Had shiny eyes. And everywhere he went, he was the answer in the room. He wasn't the problem, you know. If somebody gave him coffee with cream in it, it was okay. Somebody gave him black coffee, it was okay. He wasn't a big color of coffee man. It didn't seem to be a major thing. No. That kind of a guy. That's the kind of guy I am. My favorite dish is food. Consequently, I don't have too many trouble with menus. Very simple. Very, very simple. He's a truck driver by trade. And one of the reasons I picked him I thought I could get over on him. Now none of you ever thought that, I realized none of you stooped that low. But I did. Bad mistake. Hopkins man versus truck driver. Plato versus Wilson. After 20 years, the score is Wilson 20, Plato nothing. My sponsor's name is Wallace. You can also put for this the team for Wally 20, Tom 0. Now that doesn't mean that I stopped trying to get over my sponsor. So don't figure out any virtues creeped into me by accident. It just means I ain't never done it successfully. That's all I mean. He said, we're going through the steps. And I wanted to impress my sponsor, which I have never done either. I told him I was going to join an in-depth study, not a study group, in-depth. That's impressive, isn't it? In-depth. I mean, I wanted to impress my sponsor how serious I was and how righteous I was going to do this thing. And my sponsor, the truck driver, the Zen truck driver, I call it, told me that there was nothing in AA to study. He says there were things to do. I said, well, how can I do things if I don't know what they are? He says, follow me. Can you do that? Didn't seem complicated. I says, I think I can do that. He says, that's how we're going to do these steps. Well, I still wanted to do some studying, you know what I mean? Oh, nostalgia. Or something I thought had value. It does have value. Study has value. Someday they'll find out a good use for it. So, my sponsor talks to me like I have a different copy of the big book than he has. Your sponsor ever talk to you like that? He would say stuff like to me, "Well, what does your book say?" It's different here, right? Who do you think he is? No. He shouldn't say that to me. I'm sensitive. Big book, chapter 1, still 3. There is a solution. More about alcoholism. We agnostics, how it works, in the action, working with others, to wives, to family afterwards, to employers, and a vision for you. Then the Zen truck driver says to me, "There's not a single copy or a paragraph or a chapter here called Into Thinking." He's right. There's stuff called Into Action here. There's stuff here called Working with Others. There's stuff here called A Vision. You. Nothing in the thing. Can you imagine? Finely honed mind like mine. Me. With much papers in my pocket. Looking for a sponsor and not being able to find one as intelligent as me. With the nut papers. Before I came to you, my last thought was the nut house. See? And my last conclusion there, I was nuts and novice. I left there. And I come into you. You said we got a solution for guys like you, Tom. You're going to do these steps now. My sponsor took me through the first two steps in about 1 minute and 30 seconds. And he says, "You're sort of lethal, Tom. Just I wouldn't, you know, play around too long." Well, okay, well, we can do this. So while he says to me, "When you're drinking, do you always know when you're going to stop?" "No, always." "When you're stopped, do you always know when you're going to start?" "No, always." He says, "Well, it seems to me that when you're started, you don't know when you're going to stop. You're powerless over stopping. And when you stop, you don't know when you're going to start. You're powerless over starting. So it doesn't make any difference when you're stopping or starting. You're in a powerless condition. There's your condition." Do that again. Lack of power is your problem. That's the reason you got here in the blackout and you had power failure. Oh! Oh. Is that right, Wolf? That's what you sounds like. Then the Zen truck driver says to the Hoskins man, "If a man is powerless, what is the answer?" I tried to look intelligent. And I forgot how to do it. You ever try to look something and you forgot what it was? He says the answer is get some power. And that's the second step. If the problem is lack of power, there's the problem. Then the answer is different power. Can you figure that out, Hopkins man? Yeah, I can figure that out a lot. How do I get this power? He says, that is a classic question. He took me to the front of the book.
He said, it's how we get this power. It's exactly what this book is about. He said, you finally asked a quality question. Now, the Zen truck driver says to me, you are going to read 2 pages in this big book every day, or I am not going to sponsor you. Well, he said, Wally, I mean, you're a truck driver, wouldn't you, a librarian? No, I didn't say that to him. Don't get me wrong. I was thinking that to me. He says, this is the language of the heart, and this is the language of recovery. This is not the language of the laboratory, and this is definitely not the language of the street. And when I speak to you about cut recovery through the language of the heart, I want you to be able to hear using the language of the heart. I don't want to talk to you in English, and you're listening in Albanian. Where's Albania? He says, in about the 5th day, this brings us to step 3. Oh, I got a problem where it was. Not a problem. What kind of problem is that, Rob? I studied 4 years in a Roman Catholic seminary to become a priest. Now tell me that God don't have a sense of humor. Not 4 weeks, 4 years. 4 years. And I'm telling the truck driver that I don't believe in God. And that's the reason I can't do this. And somehow or another, my spouse has never been much impressed about what I said. Oh, well, I gotta tell you the truth. He wears a hearing aid. And he doesn't know how sensitive I am, my sponsor, because sometimes when I talk too long, he turns it off. Yeah, he does. He thinks I don't notice. You know what I mean? I notice. He says, we're going to say the 3rd step prayer. I won't put a kneel down here. And this was in the garage. It had a little crap on the floor. So he said, God don't care where we kneel down. We'll kneel down here. I said, well, I don't believe in God. He said, I didn't ask you what you believe. We're going to say the 3rd step prayer. What you believe is your business. Certainly God doesn't care what you believe. He don't care. The only person who cares what you believe is you. And what you believe has got you here kneeling in this garage and you saw it after me. Well, I feel like a phony while I'm trying to take out my belief. Oh, how long did you drink, Tom?
About 27 years, Wally.
It's a little late to worry about telling you. I don't want to be false to the colors I was imitating that day. So I said the prayer. I felt like Ray said I was praying into an empty trash can. But I said it. But 2 weeks later, Wally says to me, to Ben Chuck Larry, someday he says, probably, I'll tell you others. Hey, Claude. Yeah, Pete. You know that guy Flynn we got there in Maryland? Yeah, he's a pain in the ass. Yeah, I know about him. He now believes in us. Oh, that's great. That's going to make things a lot different around here. So much for my theology from the Zen truck driver in the garage. Thank God for these men. These men with the shiny eyes. And these women with the shiny eyes. And this room is loaded with them. I could feel the love in this room. You just Remember I told you about them goosebumps? Now I get those love bumps. I'm tuned into you. It's awesome. It's awesome. It's overpowering. I am no longer powerless. The God of your understanding radiates through you to me. One of you, I can ignore. But a room full of you. Ooh. Do that again, God. So you took me through with the steps. What time am I supposed to finish up? This guy belongs to my home group. We're going to be looking for a new home group soon. He took me through the steps. Quickly. You can always improve on something you have done imperfectly. It's difficult to improve on something you have never started. The rule between my sponsor and me is written very simply. I'd rather step on your toes than stand on your grave. I understood that. My sponsor gave me some very strict advice and very strict directions. But never could I ever detect any malice in anything he ever said to me, regardless of how. It's life's experience. Some people could tell you to go to hell and you punch him in the mouth, right? There are other people tell you to go to hell and you go home and pack. And we know. We know the difference, don't we? I don't know how we know, but we know. It's the language of the heart. That's what he was talking about all the time. And I'm finally learning it from you. And you're teaching me to talk the language of the heart. This is not new. The ancient poet said, the heart has reason. The reason knows nothing of. It's not new. It's the wisdom of the ages. That's what we have. It's written in alcoholic for us. Is that a language, Cliff?
Cliff says it's a language. It's got to be a language.
That's a language. It's now official. Certify that, Cliff. Let me share this with you. It's a bit fetching for me, but it has value for me, and it has power for me, and it has direction for me. And maybe it may have some value for you. I was talking to a very informed, active woman in Alcoholics Anonymous one night. And we were talking about how things come into our life in need. And at the moment they're in our life, they seem very large and sort of loom in the center of the stage of life and capture our attention. Very important thing. And she was talking about that. I was tired and I went home and I started sort of doze off. And if you ever go into like a semi-sleep, carrying things from your conscious world with you into it, but it was one of those types of things, you know. I don't know exactly what the level of consciousness was, but I knew it wasn't full. So I pictured, as the ancient poet did, my life as a stage. And I'm sitting there in the middle, the only guy in the theater. And I'm watching the things that are important in my life. I'm a little kid. The most important thing is my mother and father, my brothers and sisters. And they're front and center in the stage of my life. And the biggest thing in my life. And they move a little bit off to the right. And from the left side of the wings in comes some school chums. And they sort of take the center of the stage away from my immediate family. Some friends I wasn't related to, school buddies and all, you know. And then they move away. Then little girls with bumps in their shirts, you know. That comes in, and braces on their teeth. And, I'll just tell you how it seems to me. And that moves off. And then the football team. Got to make the football team. I'll die. Oh, my God. Got to make the team. Front and center. Biggest thing in my life. And it moves. Getting into college or a job or a career or a trade. These types of things. Front and center. Got to accomplish this well. Or my life isn't worth a damn. Takes all our time, attention. And that moves off. Choosing a mate for life. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But it's front and center. And it's a dominant force. Children. And they grow. And leave. And money comes and goes. And health is up and down. And up again. Nothing is permanent. All the important things in my life, everything that I thought was important, one time or another has diminished their life. So here's this drunk standing here, half conscious, looking deep into the stage, and he sees a figure with his back turned. And he says, why have you stayed? Everything else is left. And the figure from the shadow turns and says, because I have loved you all your life. Are you God? You said it. Why did all these things happen, God? If you're God, you know. I gave you a free will. I would have preferred you to choose me. But I loved you so much, I let you choose what you would choose to see. How you would grow, and what kind of love you would develop. Well, God, I am unhappy. Do I have to stay unhappy? No. It depends on what you choose, Tom. Is it too late for me to choose you, God? It's never too late, Tom. I have always chosen you. I have never broken my contract with you since the creation of time. You have chosen other things that you deem to be important to you, like money, property, and prestige, in total belief that these things would make you happy and fulfill your life. And you find from bitter experience that they do not. The hole is still there. What do I do then, God? Are you asking me for directions? Yes, God, I'm finally willing to follow directions. Go help my other kids. I am not qualified, God. I know you're not qualified, but I am. You are willing. How will I know what to do, God? I will send my other kids to instruct you. How will I know them, God? There are many people instructing. You will look at them, and you look at the man or woman with a truth greater than their own wisdom. You look for the man or woman with a light greater than their own lamp. You look for these people and you follow them and you do what they do. Their truth and their light is greater than them. For they are relying on a power greater than them. And by such reliance, you will know them. What will happen, God? Well, you will not have a bank account. You will have a love account. You will have a service account. You will have a joy account. You will have a happiness account. You will have a life that's accountable. You will be able to dance in life, because you can finally hear the music. This is what you should do, Tom. It sounds hard, God. If you try to do it by yourself, it's impossible. If you use me and my other kids as a piece of cake. Hey, God, that's cool. That's cool.
Yeah,
it's a piece of cake. So that's what I do. My report to you is I'm happy. That doesn't mean everything goes my way. There are two different ideas. I am happy. 95% of the time. Now, there's probably a lot of reasons or a lot of areas in my life where I probably shouldn't be happy, but I'm just too dumb to know it. When I was very intelligent, I was very unhappy. Because a lot of you people weren't doing things the right way, translation my way. So that's what I do today with you. You let me walk with you. You loan me your power and your light until I can get my own. And I try to thank you. And the only thing you've ever told me is pass it on. I did a little passing tonight, not much, but some for me. It's a joy for me to be amongst you. I don't have to explain these here. And thanks for caressing my heart. Thank you.